CJLO 1690 AM. Big thanks to William from Gaspar, who is just on in the last hour doing an interview here. Kind of, I don't know. I don't know what's going on with my brain. My brain is broken, everybody. And you kind of saw it during this interview where I tried to keep it together and got distracted pretty weirdly. Anyway, the point is, big thanks to him for coming in and putting up with my nonsense. And go see them on October 4th when they play at Hemisphere Gauche, which, I mean, there aren't many venues that are left that play loud things anymore. So we'll see. I mean, they still do exist. Let's not be crazy here. Obviously, Piranha exists and Turbo House exists. Turbo House, we'll get to them in a bit. And also, you know, Hemisphere Gauche plays loud things a lot of times. Where else? I mean, obviously, there's big bands that come to, like, Metropolis and whatever Corona's called now, which I won't call it, but whatever it's... Wait, don't tell me what the new name is, because I do not care. I only care that it is Corona and will be forever. So there's that. What else? Good question. Basically, as far as heavy things go, I have listed them all out for you. That's basically it. If you have others, feel free to tell me. I would say Trackside, that doesn't exist anymore. I would say Crowbar, that doesn't exist anymore. I don't know if La Tulip's going to exist anymore. I think they're not going to close now. Maybe. I don't know. I really don't know. It's a real bad look to happen during Pop Montreal, though. Honestly, you guys, what is going on? What is going on? I mean, Sergio from Turbo House has been just dragging the city and province for these for this La Tulip nonsense for days now. Speaking of Turbo House, excellent segue. I hear you saying excellent, because that's where we're going right now. Did you know that, you know, I've planned out the 4th for you to go to L'Hemisphere Gauche, but then on the 5th, you can go to Turbo House and go see Le Moon Tunes, who are going to be playing. If you are in Quebec City, you can go see them on the 4th, but, you know, that's not really where we're at right now, so let's just concentrate on the 5th at Turbo House that you can go see them. So let me just recap for you. Friday the 4th, you're going to go see Gaspar when they do their album launch. Tickets for that are $15. I want to make sure you get your budget going. Has Sublunar Express and 1 Trillion Bees also playing on the bill, so make sure you show up early at 8 so you can see all the bands, right? Great. And then you should go see Le Moon Tunes at Turbo House on the next night, the very next night. So I've planned this all out for you because I am magnanimous and good. And, you know, I hear what you're saying. You're saying, I don't know, Andrew, maybe I shouldn't go see Le Moon Tunes. Well, friend, do not think that way. And in order to help you not think that way, here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to provide for you an interview that I did with the band when they came here to play at Jazz Fest in July. They laid down a pretty good set. I was soaked because it was raining that night. But you know what? Worth it. Worth it. 100% worth it. So if you can go see them inside where it's dry, I mean, presumably, if it rains inside Turbo House, there's a lot of problems that's going on. But if you can go see them where it's dry, I recommend you do that. So go and see them at Turbo House on the 5th. And in order for me to help you out here, to make it so that you can feel a little bit better about this, I don't know why you would need to, but here's an interview that I did with them. I'll play it for you. It's this show, by the way, is going to be $20. So there you go. You're at $35 that you can spend. And then you should probably buy something from the bands to make it worth their while. So, like, let's add $20 in there. So now we're at $75. That's not bad for a weekend. What else are you going to do with it? Spend it on, like, drinks at a bar? None of that. Don't do that. None of that. Here. to help you, I know you're just still hesitant. I can see it on your face because I have cameras in your house. But here, let me play this Moontoons interview and you can get a feel for the people in the band and you can decide for yourself that you're going to this show on the 5th. So here is part one of an interview I did with Les Moontoons, and then I'll play you a track off of their latest record once that's done. Sound fair? Sounds great. Keep it locked. Grade A Explosives, CJLO 1690 AM. Hey everybody, it's Andrew. I am here joined by two special guests, two, which normally I would say is like almost half of a band, but that's not the case for today. I'm joined by two members of Les Moontoons, which I have to do the French part terribly. Apparently that's required of me, even though I've been here for so long in this province. I really should know better. But I will let these two give a voice to a name, and they can tell you who they is and what they do's in the band. So tell the people, what's your profession here in this band?
Hello, my name's Jeremy, and I play the saxophone and some synthesizers in the band.
My name is Martin Daigle, and I play drum kit and percussion for the band.
So far, I think we're off to a good start here. I think this is going well. We've gotten through one whole question, which is introing all of ourselves.
Yay!
I like structure in all of my interviews, so let me start off with the first question I ask every band, no matter who they are. What's one question you're tired of answering or you don't feel like answering? And if I have it on this list, I'll strike it. You won't have to address it.
Honestly, like, we haven't done that many interviews, so I don't think we're like tired of any questions
yet. We don't have a horrible question that we hate yet. Yeah. So you're good to go.
All right. Good. Excellent. Then I'm going full throttle here. Let's start off talking about the most recent record, Elephant Wizard. I'm sorry.
That's the right way to say it, actually.
I apologize.
Finally, someone says it right. That's how you say it.
Finally, someone figures it out.
I started saying that on my show, and I'm like, now I can't do that with the band. I have to be professional, and I've already messed up.
So.
No, man. we love that.
It's out now. People have been listening to it. You've had some success. You're here at Jazz Fest going to be playing. What has kind of been the reception for people so far? What have you heard from the people, the listeners?
Yeah, it's been great. Like, we're really happy with the feedback or whatever that we get, and we're happy with it. I don't know. It's been good. Like, we're couldn't ask for better, I think.
Yeah, I think looking into it, we knew we were making a record because we were making a record, but we didn't know how it would pan out and how it would sound like. So, like, through the whole process, we worked with Mike Trask, who like really helped us shape it, and we're really happy with the sound of it. And then finally we got to release it after months of sitting on it and waiting for PR stuff or whatever, and finally we released it and people seem to enjoy it. So it made its rounds at a few little places around the world, and we're excited to see like some cities like Melbourne or like some Scandinavian countries listen to our music, and we're just like, yay, you know. So it's fun.
I was reading about you making this record, and it sounds like you kind of took I guess it is sort of a radical approach to this, where you wrote some of it, we'll go with that, while you were actually recording. You used analog tape. Is this kind of like a brand new way that you approached writing this record, or was this something that things that you were toying around with and you just kind of incorporated them here?
Yeah, definitely like this time around compared to the first album where we had everything like written out a lot more before going to the studio. This time around, I'd say like maybe we had 50%, 50, 60% of it done, and then we like left space for things to be figured out in the studio. And again, like working with Mike Trask, like he kind of guided us through that because I think he's done that process more. And he was like, sometimes it's just like, don't worry about it, we'll figure that out in the studio. Like solos and stuff, like you just kind of leave space and then write it out in the studio. So that was a really fun process. And you like, as you're recording, you're kind of discovering what the album is going to sound like, and it made like a really cool product. So I think it was a cool process. Yeah.
We actually saw it like unfold, and I'd even say like 40% of the album was like, was written going in, or 30. It depends on like what, depends on what you, it's like, it depends on what you think is the most important part of music. Cause like, I know for many of the songs, the lyrics weren't even written. I don't think we had, we had like one song with lyrics. The rest of it was not figured out. And sure enough, Mike was like, don't worry, we'll figure it out in post. So it means, like in our case, the music was more important. So maybe that's 40% there or 50.
Does that make the songs kind of lend themselves to being more different when you're playing them then as well? Since they, like, there are certain bands where, you know, if you're listening to, like, I don't know, some sort of tech death band, right? Like they're playing to a track, like they are playing it one way and that's it. It's the way mm-hmm. that's on record. For you guys, it sounds like since you kind of created the album in a sense in the recording process, does that mean that it's more up to interpretation when you play it live?
I think so far since the album just came out, like right now we're playing it as is more, mm-hmm. but like we leave space like in spots for with solos and stuff that has a bit more freedom, especially for the soloist to like not do the solo that's on the album necessarily, mm-hmm. but they can kind of go off a bit. But structurally, like the songs, we're playing them pretty straightforward. But I know that like with time we're going to evolve and change. And there's like certain things that we are like exaggerating, like there's a song with like a punch that, yeah, and we love it so much. It's every time so we good. Talk about it, even ourselves, it's like, how far can we push this? It's like a punch that kind of like slows down, and it's like, how much slower can we make it, you know? Yeah. So
it's like a drag from like a sleep. Okay. And they're just like, they're so in their vibe and they like drag music like it was like super malleable. And we wanted to do that for our song Gallop in the Jungle. And then in the recording, we thought that we were like dragging it, and it's nothing compared now to what we're doing like, live.
You listen back to the album, we're like, is there even a drag in that anymore? Like,
what were we even doing, guys?
Yeah, we're not actually slowing down.